Uncomfortable yet? A little bit. Looky there. That's right. See? Y'all can't handle it. Man, waiting. Sometimes waiting's tough. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. So much so that you all can even just sit there quiet. Waiting can be incredibly, incredibly difficult for us. And we're going to get back to that here in a little bit. But today's week two of our current message series called God, I Just Don't Get It. I just don't get it. And what we're doing in this series is we're looking at a specific point in time in the life of the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Before last week, if you were here, how many of you all had really known anything about Habakkuk at all? Nobody? All right, right on. Well, you're going to learn today. You're going to learn today. So, but if you missed it last week, Habakkuk, man, what we see in chapter one is, let's go ahead and recap this a little bit. First off, Habakkuk's name, which I think is a perfect name for him, Habakkuk, right? No one would really say that that's a perfect name for anyone. But Habakkuk, it means to embrace or to wrestle. That's what his name means. And man, that's exactly what we saw in chapter one that he did. I mean, his name to the T. He was embracing God, but he was wrestling. And so he wrote this book. It's one of the minor prophets. So it's only three chapters long in the Old Testament. And I love those type of books because they're short, sweet, to the point. They drive home the punch. And that's what this book was. And it was written in about 600 BC, give or take a few years. And what we see in chapter one, and we read it last week and we talked about it, is that God gives Habakkuk a message, right? So he's a prophet, and that's what God did. So God would have these prophets, and he would say, hey, here's the message I want you to deliver to your people. Go. And then they would go deliver that message. And so God gives Habakkuk this message, and he's like, Habakkuk, so I want you to go tell your people that they've become increasingly wicked. Like, they're not going down the right path. And Habakkuk's probably like, that's right. And he's like, so I'm going to punish them. And I want you to let them know that. And he was like, well, okay, I'm tracking with you. I don't like it, but I'm tracking with you. And then he said, and I'm going to use the Babylonians. I'm going to raise them up. And they're a much worse group of people than you all. They're so, so wicked. But I'm actually going to use them to destroy you for your wickedness. And that's when Habakkuk was like, whoa, hold up. You lost me. How is that fair, God? You're going to destroy us because we're not living right, but you're going to use some people that are 10 times worse than us to destroy us? God, I just don't get that. I don't get it at all. And what we see with Habakkuk, which is what I love, is that, man, he was crazy bold in his relationship with God. He didn't just get all in his feelings and get all upset because what God was doing didn't make sense. No, he said, God, I don't get this. This doesn't seem fair. What are you doing? I don't want to deliver this message. He took exactly what he was thinking and feeling, and he took it to God. As we talked about last week, many of us have been taught that you should never question God. Don't question God. Just suck it up. Put that to the side. You're supposed to have faith. But in reality, when we look in Scripture, we see that people who had great relationships with God actually questioned him when they didn't understand something. Very respectfully, but very boldly, went to God and said, God, I don't get it. He was like, God, I love you. I'm tracking with you, and I'm going to follow you, but this is crazy. And so in week one, we see that Habakkuk's basic complaints were that, first, that he felt like God didn't seem to care at all. Then he felt like that God wasn't doing what he could. And I'm sure we've all been there, where we believe that God can do anything, yet he's choosing not to. Man, those are tough times. And then his third complaint to God was kind of that, God, what you are doing doesn't make sense at all. Like, I'm so confused, God. This just doesn't make sense. But what we ultimately came to last week is that it's okay, right? It's okay to ask God questions. It's okay to have some of those feelings and to take them directly to God. Ultimately, we talked about as true followers of Christ that we can have both questions and faith at the same time. They can coexist. And as that happens, we need to do exactly what Habakkuk did. What his name means is that we wrestle with it. We wrestle with God, but at the same time, we embrace him every step of the way. Right? We do these things together. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to work through doubts, because that's reality. And in any time you have a relationship at all, you have to be honest with that other person, right? A marriage is going to fail if you're not honest with each other. A relationship, a friendship, you know, your relationship with your children or with your parents, they're going to tank if you're not honest with them. And it's the same thing with God. Actually, I think it's 100% necessary for our spiritual growth for us to take those questions to God and be honest with him. Because newsflash, he's big enough to handle it. And he already knows. You're not going to do a good job of hiding it. I know I've given the example before, but when my daughter was little, we played hide-and-go-seek in the house, and she crawled up under the front, like the rug, like right in the house, and thought she was hiding. That's what it's like when we're trying to hide stuff from God. He's like, seriously? Like, I know, so just be honest. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to move on to Habakkuk chapter 2, right? And what we're going to see is we're going to work through the following question, this kind of foundational, in my opinion, question for what we're talking about in this whole series. And the question is this: what do you do when you're sliding down the mountain, right? What do you do when you're sliding down the mountain? Now, last week we used the picture of a mountain, right? This beautiful picture here. How many of y'all want to be there? Some of y'all, I would. I'd like to be snowboarding right now. Anyways, but so we have this mountain, right? And we looked at this. And this is an example of our spiritual journey, right? That's what we're looking at here. And so basically you have down here at the bottom left, you know, off the screen a little bit, that's where the mountain starts. So that kind of represents our relationship with God. At one point in time, we don't have a relationship with him. We don't know him. But then God starts to stir something in us, or we meet someone and they start to teach us and tell us about Jesus. And he just starts doing a work in our lives. And then we give our lives to Christ. And in that moment, we're forever connected to him. When we give our life to Christ through confessing and believing, all the old things are gone and everything is brand new. You are a new creation. And man, it's incredible. It's invigorating. Like when you go back and think about this, that moment when you accepted Christ, man, you start to shoot up that mountain, right? That spiritual journey. God takes you on this incredible journey. And man, you're going, you're learning, you're soaking up all these things. And you start to try to make these little life changes. And all of a sudden, they're easy, right? You're like, oh, you're making this change, you're making this change, you got some momentum, you go to church, worship is on point, you know, you're feeling good, the message is hitting home, you know, everything's going well, you get a raise at work. It's just like, man, this is incredible, right? And then you get up to this first peak, and you feel like this is the greatest thing ever. But then all of a sudden, you get that bad news. Something happens. All of a sudden, you get that phone call that your pipe froze and the water's flowing out everywhere, and you got to call Austin to come save the day. If you don't know, that happened to us at church yesterday in the building out front. And my man Austin saved the day. Anyways, but things happen. Life happens, right? And then all of a sudden, you're trying to make this change, you know, this habit that you have, this addiction, and you're trying to change it, and you thought you had changed it, but then all of a sudden, it comes back, and you start to struggle with it again. And then you go to church and, you know, somebody didn't talk to you and you got all in your feelings and you're like, man, you know, what's going on? God, I thought you were just going to continue. Things were just going to get better and better and better, but things feel like they're getting worse right now. And you start to slide down this mountain, right? So that's what we're talking about. Like, what do we actually do when we're in that spot? There's a few different things that we typically do. One, honestly, if you've been around church a long time, this is what I was actually taught to do when I start to have those questions and those doubts and things aren't going well. It's just suppress it. Ignore it. Don't worry about that. Just go back to that mountaintop, that spiritual high that you had. Remember that celebration. Remember this thing. And don't worry about those questions. But all that does is create a shallow, hollow faith. You don't really grow in your relationship with God when you're just ignoring your feelings, when you're ignoring what's going on in the world around you, when you say, hey, this is what I believe, but this thing right here doesn't seem to be jiving with that. When you ignore that, you're doing yourself and your relationship with God an injustice. But sometimes that's what we do. Sometimes it's easier than to actually wrestle with it. Or other people, they just go ahead and slide on down that hill all the way to the bottom, back to the beginning. And they say, you know what, God, if this is what you're about, count me out. Like, this isn't cool. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be good. You're supposed to heal. You're supposed to do all these things the way I think you should do it. And so they just bail on faith altogether. I've seen a lot of people do that. Or, right, as we talked about last week, or you can take the difficult journey. When you're sliding down that mountain, I would say, depending on what you're going through in that slide, it's a faith crisis. Again, when what you believe isn't lining up with what you're seeing and what you're experiencing. But if you'll do the tough work, if you'll embrace God and wrestle with those tough questions, he'll begin to take you to that next mountaintop. Wait, can we throw that picture back up there? That first mountaintop's awesome. That next one's phenomenal. And that's where God wants to take you. But we have to do the difficult work in the slide. When we're sliding down that mountain, we have to lock in and we have to remain faithful and wrestle. It doesn't mean just have this faith, just say, I got faith. No, you wrestle. You deal with it. You take it to God and say, God, I don't get this. Help me understand it. As we saw the man that brought his son to Jesus, last week we talked about, I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. You got to do that tough work. We embrace what we see in the book of James when James says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Gotta wrestle. You gotta embrace God. And as you do that, it actually increases your faith. And it doesn't seem logical to us. I was talking to someone a couple weeks ago. And I'm like, you know, I don't understand God sometimes. I don't understand why he chooses the things he chooses to do and doesn't do some of the things, you know, I don't get it. But honestly, I don't want God to think like me. I don't want God to think like humans, because we're flawed and we don't see the big picture. We don't see the down the road. And so it's crazy that, as it may sound, that God may lovingly allow you to go through a season of doubt, a season of questioning, of fear, of insecurities, of unanswered questions, so that he can do something incredible in you. Again, so that he can take you to that next mountaintop. But in that process, we have to be faithful, and we have to wrestle, and we have to embrace. But as many of you know, and you know currently, that's not always easy. You know, I try to be incredibly real because I struggle. I'm just a dude, just like you all. I'm working through this thing, and we're going through life together, and we're all trying to be better, and we're trying to grow in our relationship with Christ and to experience sanctification, to be more like Jesus. We're all on that journey together. But I know it's not easy. It's easy to say, yeah, embrace and wrestle. But when it hits the fan, it's tough. It's tough. So what do we do? How do we actually work through that? How do we go beyond just saying, well, just wrestle and embrace? What does that look like? Well, in Habakkuk chapter 2, we learn three specific things that we can do that will help us in this. Not saying it's a perfect fix. I'm not saying if you do all these three things, check, 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 life is beautiful. But they'll help us as we do the tough work in wrestling and embracing God through this slide, through that faith crisis, or through that difficult thing that you're experiencing. So let's go ahead and check out Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to see each one of these in the first three verses of this of chapter 2. So this, again, is coming off of Habakkuk hearing the news from Jesus that that he's going to raise up the Babylonians to destroy him, right? And so Habakkuk, you know, he just kind of spills his guts to God about how frustrated he is and how he doesn't agree and he doesn't get it. And all those things that, honestly, we need to be taken to God when we feel that way. And so this is what he says after doing that. He says this, verse 1, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of an end, of the end, and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So what do we do when we're in the slide? Faith crisis. We were at this peak, things were beautiful, then uh-oh. Things aren't going the way I feel that they should. God's not doing what I think he should be doing. What do we do in those scenarios? Well, the first thing that we see is that we need to listen. Right? We've got to listen. We've got to quiet everything out. Get rid of the distractions. We listen. This is exactly what we see Habakkuk do, right? He takes his doubts, his questions, his frustrations, he takes them to God, and then he says, hey, I'm just going to post up right here and listen. I'm going to wait to hear what you're going to say. Again, dude was bold and confident. He said, here it is, God. Now, I want to hear what you have to say. He pleaded his case. And we do that too. We're good sometimes at pleading our case. But how often do we actually shut up and listen? That's where we struggle. That's where many of us don't do the good work and that good communication with God. We like to pray. We like to take our concerns and God, will you help me with this? Will you help this person? Will you heal this person? Will you help me get through this? Will you do this? Will you do that? Thank you for this. But when was the last time that you said something to God and then just said, okay, now I'm going to listen. Now I'm going to listen for what you're going to say because I know that you're going to speak. I have confidence that you're going to speak. The question is are you listening? See, it doesn't matter if you take all your questions and concerns to God, if you just throw them out there and then walk away. It's not a good relationship. But when you take those questions to him and quiet everything else, give him your attention and say, okay, God, I'm ready to hear. I'm listening. And the beautiful thing is that we have a God who loves us. We have a relational God who will speak to us when we're listening, when we're ready to receive it. He's going to speak. And he speaks to us in a ton of different ways. An infinite number of ways. He speaks to you how you're uniquely wired. He'll speak to us through his word, right? You'd be reading through the Bible, you're reading through the word, and then boom, like you just get this revelation of something, or God shows you something or points something out in a verse that you've read 100 times. And you're like, yo, that's incredible. That's God speaking. He'll speak to you through your circumstances. Something will be going on and then he'll make something clear. He'll speak to you through other people. He'll use his people to speak truth to you. All the time that happens. He'll speak to you through nature, through his creation. I know I say this all the time. Y'all are probably tired of hearing it, but that's one of the ways that I connect with God the most. If I'm driving somewhere and I see a beautiful sunrise or sunset, man, I'm just like, I kind of just have to stop, like, and just say, God, you're good. Man, you're so big. You're incredible. Thank you. He speaks to us through his creation. And though it hasn't happened to me audibly, because he knows probably that if he did, I'd probably freak all the way out. But I believe that God can speak to you audibly. I've had situations where it's about as close as it gets. Looking at stepping into this role that I'm currently in a worship service over on Newburgh Road. I remember it for the rest of my life. Worship was going on, and it was like something hit me. You're going to lead this thing. God said, you are going to lead. And I didn't have a clue what that meant. But it was clear as day. God will speak to you when you're listening. So we have to make sure that we're listening. The other piece to this, though, is a lot of times when we think about God speaking to us, without just subconsciously, without even really thinking about it, we believe that it's going to be a good message. That it's going to be exactly what we want to hear. But honestly, that's not always the case. And we got to be prepared for that. We got to be prepared for the fact that we might ask God a question, and when he answers us, we're like, man, wasn't expecting that one. That's not what I wanted to hear. But we got to be ready for that. I think Paul is the perfect example of this. A story, an account of his life that has been so powerful for me over the past couple years. And many of you know that Paul had this thorn in the flesh, right? We don't know exactly what it was, but there was something that was bothering him. And man, he pleaded with God. He prayed with God, prayed to God over and over, begging God to take this away from him. God, remove this from my life. Please, God, remove it. 3 times he pleaded with God, not just asked, pleaded with God to take it away. And basically God said, nope, not going to take it away. I know that you want me to, and I know that you believe that I can, but I'm not. And he said, I'm not going to do this because I'm going to do something even better. He said, I'm going to teach you that my grace is all you need. And I don't know about you, but I'll be the first to say I got some things in my life that I wish God would remove completely, to be free of, never to even think about it again. But for some reason, God's answer continues to be no, or maybe not right now. And what I've learned is through that, I embrace him even more. Because I know that he is all I need. But we have to listen and we have to be ready for whatever he speaks. God, be prepared for that. But if we're in the slide, right, we're in that faith crisis, things aren't going well, and we present everything to God, we lay it out on the table, we then have to listen. That's got to be our next step. The second thing that we see after that is that, which is interesting, is that you need to write. To write. Write down what it is that God shows you or what he speaks to you. Write it down. Verse 2, Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation to make it plain on tablets so that the herald may run with it. When he speaks, you know, you present, you're listening, you hear a word from him, or whatever it may be, write that sucker down. And for Habakkuk, it's, you know, one of the reasons for this is because God was like, you know, years later, when I tell you this thing, and then years later when it actually comes to pass, I want to have proof right here that I keep my word. I want you to be able to show that God keeps his word. But see, I think this is also important for us because it's beneficial to us to actually write things down, especially in 2019, because we are some of the busiest people ever. We got 50 billion things going on at all times. I don't know what it was, but the phone just beeped a minute ago. Doesn't bother me. I don't really care, but it's just an example of we got 50 billion things going on. That's why I really try not to keep my cell phone up here, because I'll probably get some type of weird alert because we're all way too busy. So we need to write things down. We need to get rid of our busyness. That's a whole nother message. But we need to write things down for our benefit so that we'll remember. And again, I don't know about you all, but I'm terrible at this, and my wife will attest to it. She'll say, yeah, he's terrible at this. Because she could tell me something, and then 5 minutes later, I won't remember it. I've lived in my house for 12 and a half years, and if someone came in here right now and said, tell me the size of your air filter, I would blank. I wouldn't know. I don't know how many times I've went and looked at the size. Cool, got it. Go to Home Depot, get into the aisle, and I'm looking at all of them like, man, I don't remember what size it is. I call Jen. Hey, will you go look at that? I just can't remember. 12 and a half years. So I typed it into my phone. Now I just pull up notes. There it is. Good to go. Stupid example. I get it. How many of y'all are like that, though? For real. All right. My people. I love it. But you see, many times we forget things. And when God gives you a word, when God speaks truth to you, it's definitely something you don't want to forget. And one of the biggest reasons for this too is that we do have a spiritual enemy. He's real. And he is a pro at taking and stealing and perverting truth. He's a pro at it. So we've got to guard ourselves. We've got to use our resources, our God-given resources, to make sure that we can combat that at all costs. And one of those simple ways is just write it down. Because see, what happens is sometimes you present something to God, then you're listening, or you ask him something, you're listening, and he reveals it to you, and you're like, in that moment, you're like, that is so good. I'm so clear that was God speaking to me, right? And then a week later, you start to hit that slide, or something happens, and then you think back on that, and you're like, well, this doesn't make sense. Was that God? Or was that something else? And then months down the road, you could be just completely derailed and not even remember what was said. But if you write it down, it kind of acts as this spiritual anchor in your life. Because we can visually see it. We can go back to it when things start going a totally different way. We can go back to it. See, that's why every year at the beginning of the year when we talk about picking a word, I encourage you to write it down somewhere. On your mirror, on your refrigerator, sitting in a plaque or something on your desk. You have your one word and your one verse because it's right there in front of you all the time, reminding you of it. Because I'll be completely honest, even after preaching that, there's been a year or two where I didn't write it down in the right spots, got 3 or 4 months down the road, didn't even remember my word. Let's be honest. And that wasn't just my word that I picked. That was a word that God gave me for the year. And I let distractions, I let the enemy steal that from me. I wasn't moving forward. But if we write it down, it's front and center. When God gives you something, it's of the utmost importance. So we need to do whatever we can do to keep it fresh, right? So we present our concerns, our questions, our doubts, whatever it is, our frustrations, man, we boldly and respectfully take that to God. Then we listen. speaks, we write that down. And then finally comes that difficult, awkward, and frustrating part. We wait. You know how hard it was to sit up here for like 15 seconds and not say anything? That was just 15 seconds. You know how hard it was for you all to sit there and not say anything? Y'all broke before I did. That's bad. But waiting is tough. Because we are terrible at waiting. Patience is a lost art. We don't have it. We live in a day and age where it's all about immediate gratification. If it can't happen like that, we're going to keep it moving. I'm terrible at it. Especially if it comes to a drive-thru. I'm terrible. Just a week or two ago, I was sitting in Starbucks drive-thru freaking out. I don't even know where I was going, but I was frustrated because they were taking way too long. You know, it didn't matter. I knew the line was long. I was going anyway, so apparently I wasn't too concerned about being late. But I was like, why is this taking so long? I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting antsy in my car. I'm just like, I need my espresso. You know, let's go. And I get it. I pull out, and I realized that it was like 2 minutes. It wasn't long at all. But I'm just so conditioned, like, got to be going, because we have no patience. We are terrible at waiting. Terrible at it. Because it's hard. We're busy. We're on the move. But we've got to learn to wait. Because there's plenty of things that are worth waiting for. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 says, "For the revelation awaits an appointed time." I want you to hang on that. An appointed time. "It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, and though it seems to be taking forever, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay." So much promise in that. And one of the beautiful, most beautiful things of this verse, but one of the most difficult, is that there's an appointed time. There's an appointed time. It's God's timing. And it will come to pass. If he reveals something to you, if he gives you truth and you know it, wait, because it's going to happen. And it's difficult. When I came to LifePoint some almost 12 years ago, I wanted nothing more than to be full-time staff. Like, I was obsessed with it, to be the youth pastor. That's all I wanted to do. Longed for it. It couldn't come fast enough. And I believed that God had called me to be in ministry full time at some point in time. I knew it. I believed it. All the way back when I was 19 years old, when I started going to Bible college. I didn't do that just because. I did that because I felt like this is where God was leading me. I was at 19. I didn't become a full-time pastor until 35. That's a long wait. But it was God's timing. And the amount of things that I learned, the lessons that God took me through, the journey, the difficulties, the trials, the people I met, everything prepared me for this moment. And believe me, there was plenty of times I was sliding down that mountain about ready to say, deuces, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. I went and got an MBA. I was ready to jet. Which, by the way, God is using incredibly here. We got lots to do. But we have to wait. It's in God's perfect timing. And it's not easy. But when we know he speaks truth, and we're confident in it, not in ourselves, but we're confident because God spoke it, wait. Be faithful. Believe it. I heard a pastor once say, and I think this is so just, that's longer than I've been alive. That dude was wandering around, just wandering. But then it happened. what God said came about. Because he waited and he was patient. Take Joseph, right? His brothers, you know, he had this dream and he knew that God spoke to him that you're going to be a great leader. Now, he made the mistake of saying, hey, I had this dream, y'all all bowed down to me. That's not going to make your older brothers happy, right? But he knew that he was going to be this great leader. And the next thing he knows, his brothers throw him into a pit, sell him into slavery, stage his death, go tell his dad that he's dead. Here's his coat with blood on it. Animal tore him up. Then he goes, he's in Egypt and he's in prison, falsely accused. Things seem to be going south. And he could have easily been like, God, I thought you said I was going to be a leader. I'm in prison. It's been like a terrible chain of events. But then it happened. And next thing you know, he's the second in command in Egypt. It's about God's timing. And what he says will not come to pass. But we have to have faith. We have to wait on his perfect timing. And again, that's not easy. And it was the same thing for Habakkuk. He waited a long, long time for what God had promised him. In fact, most of his people didn't even get to see it come about because it wasn't until the next generation when God honored that promise. But he did. Because when God says something, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But see, when we're in this slide down the mountain, things aren't going the way we think they should. We got some options. We can ignore it, act like it's smooth. Not good. Not healthy for your relationship with God. You can slide down all the way and just bail altogether, or you can do the tough work. You can present those questions to God. And then listen. Actively listen. Then when he speaks, you write it down. And then you wait. You wait. And really, and truthfully, this all comes down during the slide, during this faith crisis, it really comes down to faith. It comes down to faith. When we're at that broken moment, we say, God, why? God, I don't get it. Don't get it at all. Why are you allowing this to happen? Why are you doing this? Why are you silent? We have to continue to live by faith. Chapter 2, verse 4, God says this to Habakkuk. He says, see, the enemy, the Babylon, is puffed up. His desires are not upright. Then he says, but the righteous person will live by his faith. The righteous, God's people, those who have a connected relationship with him. And you're not righteous because of you, you're righteous because of Jesus. But man, they're going to live by faith. We are going to live by faith. We're not going to live by maybe what we're experiencing. We're going to acknowledge it. We're going to take it to God. And we're going to wrestle with it. But we're going to do so in faith. We're going to embrace him. And we'll have faith and whatever God says, because we've asked the tough questions, right? And we're listening. We'll have faith. And then we'll have faith that those things will continue because we've written them down and we're encouraged. It's anchored in. So we'll be able to keep the faith, keep moving forward. And then we'll have the faith to wait on God's purpose. Even when it doesn't make sense, we'll wait on God's plan because we know that it's true and we know that it will come about at some point in time. The righteous person will live by faith. And in living by faith, God will eventually lead us out of that season of questioning. He'll lead us out of that season of doubt, right? We're in this slide. You're faithful. You're listening. You're writing. You're waiting. You might dip down even more. That's a reality. But when you're faithful, eventually he's going to pull you out. He's going to give you that other path, and then he's going to take you to that next peak. I promise you. He'll take you to the next peak. He'll take your relationship to a whole new level. And trust me, it's worth the journey. Though it be challenging, frustrating, confusing, and you feel like giving up, live by faith. It's worth the wait. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning, Lord, just incredibly, incredibly thankful for who you are, for how much you love us, how much you love us when we're, in fact, at times very unlovable people. But you just shower us with your grace and your mercy and your love. For that, God, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that we have the privilege of coming to you, of speaking directly to you, of taking our concerns and our doubts and our questions, and that we can take that straight to you, God. That's just, when you really step back and think about it, it's just incredible. We're just so thankful that we have that opportunity, Lord. And we're thankful that you hear us. And that you speak to us. God, and may we listen and be willing to wait. Maybe you're here this morning and you're at the base of that mountain. Maybe you've been coming to LifePoint Church for a while, but you've never really stepped over that line of faith. You've never given your life to Christ. You've heard about it, heard about Jesus. You know what he did for you. You know that he died and rose again, taking on your sin and your shame so that you could be forgiven, so that you can be made right before God. You know it, but you've never really claimed it for yourself. Maybe it's the first time you've ever heard that. But either way, know that, man, God is crazy about you. And he loves you so much that he did make that way. He did send his son for you. Scripture says that if we confess and we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died and rose again for you, that you're in fact flawed and in need of a Savior, if you confess and believe that you can be saved, and you'll begin that beautiful journey and that relationship with him. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. So here in a moment when the team plays, if you're ready to step over that line of faith, you can just call out to him right there from your chair. Just confess and believe how he leads you. Whatever he leads you to say, that's between you and God. Or if you're just completely freaked out by that and don't know what to say, or you want to come talk to someone, we'll be up here. We'll have a few other people up here. You can come talk to somebody. We'd love to talk to you. You can talk with me after the service. But if that's you, don't let that linger. Just do business with God. I promise you it'll be the best decision you've ever made. But maybe you're here this morning, you are a Christ follower, and you've been to that first peak of that mountain, but man, life's been tough. You've been dealt some crazy cards over the past few months. You're sliding, questioning, doubting. You're in a faith crisis. If that's you, you're in a great spot to be here hanging out with us. I know there's several people that are feeling that way. Like we said last week, take that to God. But as you do, remember to listen. Write down what he says and just wait if necessary. Be faithful in the slide. Continue to serve. Continue to seek him. Continue to pray. Continue to be honest with him. Don't bail. Stay faithful. Wrestle with it. And embrace him in the process. I promise you, if you can do that, he'll lead you out of that to that next mountain peak. And if that's you, again, during this time, man, you just do business with God. Let him know how you feel. Or maybe you've already let him know and you just need to sit there and listen. Maybe you just need to spend time this week listening. God, I'm listening. Then shut up. Listen.